Good evening. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm recording on the evening of April 27th. Tonight, I want to have a serious talk with you about ciliary circles. If possible, make sure you read the three pieces on the Take Action section of the web presentation for Take Action 2021. So the web presentation you can link from the commentaries at takeaction2021.ciliary.com. You should really read these before you listen, if you can. The first is Loosen Technology's Grip on Your Mind by Corey Lynn. We discussed that last week on the Ciliary Report. And it's part of getting the mind control and related addictions and the technology trance out of your life. And it's one thing a circle can help each other do, but it really helps to have that done before you get serious about doing a circle, because the too much of the technology in your life can absolutely sabotage and destroy any organizational effort, including a circle. The second is Ciliary Circles Taking Action Together by attorney Carolyn Betts. Carolyn is someone who's been through, who worked with me at Hamilton Securities and has been through the entire evolution of Ciliary and the Ciliary Report. And she's participated in one of the circles. We were in an investment circle together. And then Ciliary Circles Taking Action at the Local Level by a former town manager, Gary Heckman, who's written some excellent pieces about local action before. Gary has a wonderful feeling of what it takes to make a municipality go and how citizens can organize and participate to make sure that they get the best possible local leadership. And he's written a really excellent piece. All three did, Corey and Carolyn and Gary. So these are three great pieces of that can really help you understand some of the important parts of effective action in this time. What is a Ciliary Circle? A Ciliary Circle is a financial action club. It's designed to help 12 or fewer members take action for their individual and mutual benefit. There are three things a Ciliary Circle can do. One is education, really intel. Mr. Global has intelligence agencies. We need to do the same for ourselves. And this can be many different aspects, but including with what in the world is going on, what are the changes upon us, and what can we do about it. The second is taking action to affect changes in the lives of the members as regards their finances and all the related different risks that can affect our finances, from health and what's happening locally on a political basis. It can include culture, philanthropy, civic activities. These days, the financial risk is deep and wide. And then finally, pooling money for making investments. And this can be private equity. It can be angel network. It can be an investment club. But consistent with acting in a way that, again, supports free and inspired living for the members. And hopefully raises our literacy about protecting our finances from, you name it, organized crime, troublesome bank and corporate conduct and policies, on and on and on. Finance and health right now are very intimately connected. I have an expression I call the great poisoning, which is, I think most people and families are exposed to a rising level of toxicity. And whether it's GMOs or processed foods and sugar, fluoride spraying, pesticides, plastics, injections, pharmaceuticals, EMF radiation, you name it. I do believe there's great poison going on in the planet. And it's the number one source of most financial problems for both individuals and families. So our watchword is disintermediation. We're trying to intermediate. We've been intermediated by large institutions, whether big corporations or governments or financial intermediaries and institutions. And our goal is to get the big guys out of our minds, get them out of our pocketbooks, get them out of our balance sheet, get them out of our wallets, and if possible, build much more local resiliency and protect individual sovereignty and independence. Again, our goal is that you should live a free and inspired life. And a lot of how you do it and what you do depends on where you are and what you want in this world. We can't tell you what your purpose is, but the goal is to help each other achieve it. So big question is, should you do a Soleri circle? The most precious thing you have right now is your time. You must invest your time effectively and wisely. Before you attempt to organize with others, whether it's a Soleri circle or in any way, you have to make sure that doing so is a wise investment of your time. That means the scope of what you're going to do is feasible and offers you and the other people personal benefit, that the people are trustworthy and committed to generating that mutual benefit. The management process is practical and competent, and the goals are in balance with skills and time commitment. One of the biggest mistakes I see groups of all kinds make is they have very aggressive goals without sufficient time or resources to achieve them. And so things can get frustrating. So before you consider doing a Soleri circle, please appreciate that the only reason to do it is because you expect it to increase your ability to live a free and inspired life both now and in the future and help others do the same. And if it's not going to do that, don't do that. Don't do a circle. I just finished reading, and I'm going to write a book review, a book that a really wonderful subscriber recommended. It's by Napoleon Hill, who's the author of Think and Grow Rich, and it's called Outwitting the Devil, something we're all going to be doing a lot of these days. Anyway, I wanted to read you two. In the book, Hill is grilling the devil, and he says, in what way may caution be used most advantageously? They're discussing caution. And the devil answers, in the selection of one's associates and in one's method of relating oneself to associates. The reason for this is obvious. One's associates constitute the most important part of one's environment, and environmental influences determine whether one forms the habit of drifting or becoming a non-drifter. The person who exercises due caution in the choice of associates never allows himself to be closely associated with any person who does not bring to him through the association some definite mental, spiritual, or economic benefit. Which point Hill asks, isn't that method of choosing associates selfish? At which point the devil answers, it is sensible and leads to self-determination. It is the desire of every normal person to find material success and happiness. Nothing contributes more to one's success and happiness than carefully chosen associates. Caution in the selection of associates becomes, therefore, the duty of every person who wishes to become happy and successful. The drifter allows his closest associates to match themselves to him on their own terms. The non-drifter carefully selects his associates and allows no one to become closely associated with him unless that person contributes some form of helpful influence or bestows some definite benefit. I think when you think about doing a Soleri circle, that's very good advice. Why should you consider doing a Soleri circle? I would submit to you that right now we have started into a process I describe as World War III. This is a war. The war is spiritual. The war is cultural. The war is financial. The war is legal. The war is biological. A small, effective group of allies, well organized for individual and mutual benefit, can significantly increase your chances of successfully navigating that environment. This is a very, to me, dangerous environment, and I think it has the potential to get much more dangerous. And that means that there is benefit in organization in dealing with food, with health, with shelter, with energy, with income, with risk, and in many respects, most of all, crime management. Let me tell you the reasons why you should not do a Soleri circle, and I'm not here to promote Soleri circles unless it's something that's really going to give you energy. If it's not going to give you energy, I don't want you to do it whatsoever. There have been many periods in my life when I've had to stop organizing and trying to work with other people and go it alone. So There are many situations where you don't want to do a ciliary circle. Let me tell you some of the reasons you don't. You don't want to feel, you don't want to do it because you feel you ought to do it. Never feel you ought to do anything. Again, your time is your most precious asset, and you should only use your time in ways that have a very high return on investment to you. The second thing you should never do is get caught up with the wrong people or too many people. If you haven't heard my discussion of the story of Gideon with Thomas Mar, I would recommend it to you. The moral of the story is you don't need a lot of people, but you need faithful, competent people. And I don't care how small your circle is, you got to get your circle down to the people who know how to act in accordance with any kind of process of mutual, individual and mutual benefit. You don't want to bring in people who increase your risk. There are a lot of people in this environment because they're not faithful or they're not competent or they're not ethical, will dramatically increase your risk. You can have 10 great people and one bad dog and they'll blow up the whole circle. It's funny, I was talking with one great subscriber about circles and he said, they're great if you can survive the dropout stage. That's when you prune out everybody who can't play. I used to have a partner say, before you do the deal, get together and send the scared guys home. And so you have to think very significantly about who's in the circle and who you can build trust with. Do not do a circle if you don't have a group of the right people. I think for many people, you'll see as we go on into the material, for many people, the circles they'll start now are circles to get a circle. You start a group with a group of people in your general area and you meet them and you get to know them and you keep your focus small and simple while you're seeing really if they're, if they're one or more circles that can emerge from the gathering and the getting together and the meeting of other Ciliary Report subscribers in your area. So I want to just give a framework for the different kinds of circles. A circle can be online or in person. I did one circle by phone, so it can also be, so you can be remote or you can be local, or you can be a combination of both. So you can meet again online. You can meet by phone, or you can meet in person, or some combination and variation thereof. So you could have an online group that supports a group of people who meet locally. I just want to underscore that online has zero privacy. And anything online is monitored. Everything online is read. It's subject to easy AI. It's subject to mind control. So I would be very, very careful about what you do online. Your online group may be a way for you to meet other Ciliary subscribers in your general area or region. And once you meet and get to know each other, then you figure out how to get together and communicate by carrier pigeon or other methods. But I would be very careful about how you use online and just appreciate there's no privacy there. So you can be online, you can be in person, you can be by phone or a combination of both. Focus and functionality. Again, you can be education, intelligence, or you can be action or investment. I really think it's very important to start small and very modestly. And there's a lot that a circle can do to help get a better understanding of the world, including digesting and helping each other digest a lot of the different Ciliary materials. In Carolyn's article, she's given a long list of different ideas of how you could help each other. But again, you want to keep it practical. Her first item is watch documentaries or read Ciliary Report articles together and discuss. I was part of a group that watched documentaries and then would discuss them. It's like a book club, but with videos. And it was a great way to get to know each other. And it worked. One of the reasons it worked was we always had a big pot of soup. So we'd have soup, watch the documentary, and then talk. And it was a great way to sort of cut the ice and get to know each other. there are many topics we're all dealing with that are highly complex. The best circles are ones where you can get one of everybody. So you have a doctor, you have a nurse who can help with health material. You have a scientist, he can help with all the different scientific issues. You got a plumber, you got an electrician. We had a great one where we had a gun expert, and he could help us with all the different issues of owning and caring for firearms. If you can have an attorney and a CPA and a financial person, if you can have IT and open source IT guys, oof, that's fabulous. If you can have a great local banker. So think of all the different expertise and knowledge you want. If you can get a trustworthy person in all those different areas, it's really remarkable. It doesn't have to be in the circle. You can invite people to give you presentations or to give you a lecture. You can hire people to come in and help everybody with their switching to open source software. So they're just an amazing amount of ways that you can use a circle to really build the intelligence you need. Because if you look at the complexity of being excellent in all these different areas, there's no way any one person can do it by themselves. For the last year, as we were grappling with understanding what was happening with COVID-19, the fact that the Salieri Report had so many smart scientists, doctors, and nurses, it just really helped immensely. There was, and don't discount the notion of just the benefits of not being alone. There's a great new movie I just saw. It's called the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society, about a group of people on the Guernsey Island during World War II when the Germans occupied the island, who had a book club. And it was a way of sort of staying human in a very difficult environment. I had a dinner circle in Tennessee where we really helped each other understand how to live a more resilient life, whether it was designing and planning an orchard or starting a garden. So a lot on food and gardening. And anyway, so I would almost always start with education and intelligence, because it's a way of getting to understand each other's point of view and learning more about each other. If you're gonna have material benefit for all the people in the group, you need to understand the group and the people. So if you want to start small, it's a great way to begin. And I think it's through education and intelligence that you begin to find the actions that are sort of benefit everybody in the group. So as you read down Carolyn's article, she gave some great examples of the different things that a circle could do to take action. One is a savings club, where literally you shift your deposits out of the banking system and put it out on your personal network in what's called a hand. It's a savings process that the immigrants use to build deposits for buying a house or buying a car. It works very well. I always talk about the fact that when the litigation started, I had given or lent $250,000 to various individuals and family and friends. And it was that $250,000 that came back to me over the next 11 years. It was the one source of money that the Department of Justice couldn't shut off, because it was out there in the people bank. And the first thing I did when I settled the litigation was I took a huge amount of the money that came in and I shot it back out in the people bank. I said, I've learned my lesson. It's the people bank that I trust. We have many subscribers who want help learning about precious metals, and I find doing either a savings club with precious metals or just working on helping each other purchase precious metals. It's a great topic that lends itself to this kind of sort of action group. Community action is the topic of Gary Heckman's piece. And there is an infinite number of things to be done in any community. And I would start with Gary's piece and some of the links. But the real power here comes when you can start to take action locally. Schooling in children is a big one, because particularly with COVID, in many countries and many places, you're going to have to homeschool or start new schools. The government schools are simply not safe. And you don't want your kids getting hooked into being dependent on a social life in an environment that's going to teach them all the wrong things and get them developing all the wrong habits. A big one is food, and I'm extremely concerned both because of price inflation and quality control about the future of food, and I think it's incredibly important to line up your local fresh food sources now. Health, of course, is important. There's all sorts of financial estate planning. Healthcare proxies are a big one. And then, of course, bartering and sharing tools or purchasing clubs. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But again, there are an infinite amount of actions you can take. It really comes down to working out what is of immediate importance to the members of the group and what has real benefit. One I'm very interested in is philanthropy and crowdfunding at a local level. The biggest drain financially on every local area I've ever seen is that the families, local families, raise and educate children for two decades, and then they leave and go off and work for the big corporations or big governments in a way where essentially, you know, they're building the prison. So we make an investment of extraordinary investment in our young people instead of those people, young people staying in their communities and contributing to building businesses and activities in those communities. They go off and work for those entities which are basically destroying those communities. So it's a huge negative return on investment to the community. And if we can provide angel capital or financing and work with local business and local teachers in the local banks to provide the seed capital to get the young people starting businesses on Main Street or buying the existing businesses and upgrading them, I think it making it unbelievably attractive for young entrepreneurs to sort of decentralize the economy and to integrate new technology locally is just a fabulous use of both our investment capital and our philanthropic capital. And it's, I think, what can be done with a little bit of crowdfunding to make it possible for the young people to contribute locally is just absolutely critically important. There's a lot that a circle can do if they find and build a relationship with a good local bank. No matter how good a local bank is, there's certain kinds of risks that it can't take. But if it teams up with a local circle that can put a little money on the plate, that can take the high risk positions, there's a lot that can be done. And that includes helping to build local food systems, because a lot of the local farmers don't necessarily have the investment capital or the credit worthiness. But if circles in a place who need food and will buy food and will take dividends in food, and you get a good relationship with good local banks and good local business people, a little bit of seed corn can go a long, long way when you leverage it with the different networks and relationships. So one of the things Carolyn talked about in her article was doing circles for kids. And because there is right now an explosion of parents either switching to homeschooling or looking to start new schools or investing in alternative schools because of what has happened with COVID, I think that organizing celiac circles for kids is a great idea in some situations. If you go back 100, 200 years, what you'll find is a lot of the kind of activities that a circle might do were done with the kids. The kids were an intimate part of the fundamental economic survival and resiliency of a family or a community. And they were intimately involved in all these activities at a very, very young age. Now, you can do a circle just for kids, but you can also involve kids in the circle you're doing for adults. You just have to make sure they're trained and brought up to protect the privacy and the secrecy and the trust in a circle. The last function, of course, is investment circles. And there are many different kinds of investment things that a circle can do. If they involve securities, then you get into something. You get into what's defined as an investment club. And there really are much more strict rules and regulations if you're dealing with securities. If you're dealing with local real estate or angel network, it can be relatively, you know, rule-free. It depends on how you do it. I'm not going to go into investment circles in detail tonight. There's a lot of material available about them. And in the library, you'll find one Salieri report on investment circles and investment clubs. Carol and I both participated in an investment club that worked very well because we had a very sophisticated project manager who had a lot of experience with investment clubs and was willing to do a fair amount of the work to get it to go. One of the things I would say, as I said before, you can't pay a member to organize and run an investment club, but you can pay for the education or the action club. You can pay someone and more than one person to do certain functions. So for example, you can pay a local chef or a local chef, if they're in the circle, to come and cook a dinner for the circle every time the circle meets. But you can also do a potluck dinner. But I think organizing and paying a local chef to make a really great dinner is a real attraction. Everybody's got to eat dinner, and it sort of saves a little bit of time. It gives you a great sort of home-cooked meal, and food is a real draw. I've found food to really help circles go. The dinner club we had in Tennessee was a potluck dinner, and it worked very well. Procedures and rules. I think it's extremely important to spend time before you organize a circle with the people that you're considering doing it with, to talk about what your goals are and what the project management process will be, and to get clear on who's going to do what and how it's going to work. Carolyn sort of had a section on procedures and rules, and I would recommend you read it carefully. I think it's really important to estimate how much time you're planning on investing, both individually and collectively, and make sure whatever you're planning on accomplishing, you really have the resources to do it. You really need to keep a very appropriate balance between your goals and the specific actions you're going to take and what you intend to accomplish and how much time and resources you're going to give it. And I think, you know, if I could say anything, be prepared to evolve. There's one place a circle breaks down, and that's if the rules of privacy that you've agreed to aren't followed. If you have someone who really does not break trust, and one of the most important things a circle's going to have to do is, if that happens, you're going to need to prune the group. And you're going to have a process to do that. So I would spend some real time on understanding what the sort of privacy protocols are and making it very clear to everybody what they are. And then if they're not respected, then you need to deal with it. As I mentioned before, you have to go through the downsizing process to get to the people, or you need to go to the downsizing process to get the scared guys to go home. I think the greatest opportunity is local action, but it takes a lot of time to learn how the sort of the politics and the resources in your local area work. One of the things I found is that it's a very long, patient process to learn about how the money works around you and how the politics works. And one of the things I've always found is that there is always a major payoff to be had, but it could take a year or two of just steady learning before you see the opportunity, before you find it. You've got to get a really good map, and you've got to have the patience to look for one or more great opportunities. But the richer your map gets, the higher chance that you will have, you'll find an opportunity, but also that you'll start to see the risks and the landmines, and you're going to stop stepping on them because you have a good feel of what's going on. I've always thought there was tremendous benefits from learning about how the money worked in the local area. But what I found is most people quit and give up before they get to the point where they hit the opportunities. They don't have the patience and they don't have the faith, and I've never been able to understand why. That's why if you can get a member who has been in the municipal government or is familiar with local budgets or is a CPA who, you know, does the town book, somebody who really knows sort of how the money works locally, if you can get them involved, it's really, really helpful. But if you go through Gary's piece, he's got some great ideas on how to get involved. I think one of the easiest things to do is to just identify one or two local leaders who are really doing a great job and ask them what you can do to help. And I think it can be as easy as just identifying the really talented, capable people who are trying to do a great job of leaving your area and just trying to help them. And it's amazing how if you just consistently and steadily help them with what they need, particularly getting reelected, it can make a big difference. Now, let's say that you've read the materials and you've thought about this and you've decided, okay, I want to start a circle. Maybe you've been trained by Darlene in the last year to sort of organize and meet the people in your area, and you thought, okay, well, you know, let's start a circle and see what we've got here. Or maybe you've got a group of people in your local area and you said, okay, I want to start. What can Soleri do to support you? There are two things we're planning on publishing sometime in the month of May. The first is we're working on a more sophisticated software package to replace subscriber input. Right now at the website, if you have a comment on the commentary and you're logged in, you can just leave a comment. But a lot of people go to subscriber input just to sort of discuss. And as we've grown, the complexity of the discussion has really gotten beyond the software. So we want to bring up a forum which will allow you to create groups where you can focus on specific discussions. So if you want to discuss what's going on in the Ukraine, you can set up a group that's dedicated to that. And that will make it possible for specific discussions and topics to get the kind of focus that they want to get and make it easier for people to sort of find the different discussions that have been going on instead of reading back in a long, long thread. The second is we're bringing up a new website at connect.soleri.com specifically for Soleri circles started by and for Soleri Report subscribers. This is where you can create private groups. The private groups can be created by leaders who've gone through the training with Darlene either in the last year or in the future. And once those leaders have been through training, they can start a group and they can invite members. If you're invited as a member, then we'll put you on the connect.soleri.com. We'll make you a user, but you have to go in as a trained leader or as a member who's been invited by a trained leader. You have to be a Soleri Report subscriber to be on Connect. If you unsubscribe, then you'll be unsubscribed from Connect. This will be a place where groups can start private groups. So it can be a private group for that region or that place, or it can be a private group for discussion and learning of any kind that you want. It's your circle, you decide. This is designed, I'm hoping, to support groups who will want to meet in person and locally. Again, we've tried to design these two software packages so that they're as private as possible. They're on our servers, etc. But I have to tell you, everything that online is, in my opinion, compromised. So it would be great if you can also, there was one person I used to do strategic planning all the time. We used to go off in the Redwood Forest and go so deep into the Redwood Forest, we would find a place where there was no cell signal. I guess now we're going to have to go underground or in caves, unless you can find a really big Faraday cage. But if you can find a place without a cell signal, it's a great place to meet. Think about how you want to participate in very practical ways. I'd just like to walk through some of the areas where I think in the next, you know, right now and in the next year or two, there's going to be a lot of demand. I think not feeling like we're alone. So finding other people who are not in the cult is one of the benefits. And I think it's been one of the impulses that have gotten people going through the training and trying to meet locally. Another is help with, if you look at our article on Coming Clean, people to talk with about, okay, what is this? How do I do it? And of course, the big thing is getting the large institutions and corporations out of our finances and life in a way that reduces your risk. And I find it helps to talk with other people about how to do that. It's all part of getting sort of out of the mind control trance. Finding a good bank or credit union is something I get a lot of questions about. I think we have material on how to find a good local bank, but I think working with a group locally really helps, particularly, you know, if you tell a bank you've got 10 people who are looking for a good bank, would they give you a presentation? They'll be tripping over themselves to do it. Finding great vendors and tradespeople, particularly like-minded people. I really don't want anybody in my home who's not like-minded right now. And some people need help moving jurisdictions. The reality is, if you look at some jurisdictions right now are better than others for a variety of reasons. And there's no doubt a lot of people right now are moving and they have very good reason to do so. I think that it's very important right now, if you are in a jurisdiction, to find out who your good local leaders are and to engage with them. And as I said, one thing a circle can do is just identify one or two really excellent local leaders and see how you can support them. There is a great poisoning going on. And I think one of the ways I've seen Salary Report subscribers help each other is learning to understand all the different ways that we are being assaulted with environmental toxins and helping each other protect ourselves and each other and our families from it. And if you look at the health and medical and scientific knowledge needed to do that, it's mind-boggling. And I think sort of organizing to do that is very, very helpful. Different, you know, you can always, if you have 10 people each reading a book and reporting on it, you can cover a lot more territory. To me, one of the most important areas is fresh food, is finding, supporting local farmers, and helping each other garden or otherwise creating economic fresh food sources. One of the things is just buying clubs. I'm always amazed if you organize and start, if you're in a city and just go buy in the mornings, early in the mornings at the terminal markets where all the restaurants are going buying, the lower prices are unbelievable if you can buy in bulk that way. And there's no reason, anybody can walk into the terminal market and just start buying, but you got to be able to buy in cartons and crates. So it pays to organize to do that. Part of the food issue is protecting against inflation, because while the quality of the food system is going down in many areas, the prices are going up. And I think those prices could absolutely explode over the next 2 to 5 years. And so whether it's bulk purchases and buying at the terminal markets or learning how to grow more locally, I think this is a great way to protect yourself against inflation. Help with kids. I just think trying to bring up kids in this environment is very, very tricky and dangerous. And if you want your kids to be safe mentally, spiritually, every which way, I think you got to keep them out of most schools. I believe organized crime intimidation is a real problem, whether it's coming through government or coming through the political process or just coming through, you know, private freelance parties, free range crime. There's still free range crime. This could include finding legal representation, ideally before you need them, political and employer pressure to take COVID-19 injections and green passports. I think having a group of people who will always watch your back and not let the system target you. You know, the system often targets people who let themselves get isolated. And a circle can provide a witness protection program, if you will, that that can't happen if you're alone. Circle could be working on self-defense. As I said, we had a member in my dinner club in Hardeman County that was a gunsmith, and he helped us with the use and care of firearms. One of the local leaders you might want to pick out is your local sheriff. I did a book review a couple months ago on Lynn McTaggart's The Power of Eight, and it was about groups of eight people combining prayer and intention to really help each other with finance and health issues. And there's no reason you cannot combine prayer and intention with what we're doing. And if you're interested in that, I would suggest you read Power of Eight. Our movie this week on the Salera Report is The War Room, which is a wonderful movie about the power of prayer. And I've seen prayer just produce miraculous things. There's no doubt about it. I got a letter, I think it was about a year ago, from a Salera Report subscriber who was trying to fight 5G in Arizona. And to continue to fight, she was going to have to go very public, which she was extremely uncomfortable with doing. And she asked what she should do. And I told her she should start a war room and just do it with prayer. And she wrote me a cryptic note a couple weeks ago and said, well, you know, I took your advice and I did a war room in prayer and it's been unbelievably effective. So I don't know exactly what happened, but, you know, the you can fight these things. This is a spiritual war first and foremost. So whatever you're dealing with in the physical realm, you can fight it spiritually. There's no doubt in that aspect that the cultural aspects of what we're dealing with are very, very significant. And Joseph and I always talk about this in the wrap-ups. But I find it's extremely important to me to maintain a high spiritual cultural environment. And it's extremely difficult because we're living in a world where there is a concerted effort to debase the culture. I once had a wonderful ally, John Edward Hurley, who said that he was giving a lecture at the Smithsonian in Washington on Southern culture, and somebody in the audience interrupted and said, you know, what does this have to do with me? Why should I care about this? And John Edward Hurley turned to him and he said, culture, young man, is the integration of the divine in everyday life. And I later said to him, I thought that was the best definition of culture I'd ever heard. I said to him later, though, I said, John Edward Hurley, you forgot to mention that sometimes it can be the integration of the demonic in everyday life. Anyway, so I really do feel like there is a effort to inject the demonic. And I believe that to nurture an integration of the divine, it helps to have other people, whether it's small concerts, small theater, readings. These are all things that can be done in a home or out in the redwood forest, if you can find one. But I really think we have to nurture and rebuild the divine and cleanse out the demonic. And I don't know a better way of doing that than organizing with other people to do that. Every time, one of the reasons I love going to Thomas Meyer's house is you walk into this beautiful home and it's like a cultural sanctuary, and people are showing up and playing Beethoven and Bach on the violin or the piano, and there's marvelous Hungarian meals and long walks in the forest and sort of theater skits and readings and discussions. It's and poetry and on and on and on. Even the Christmas tree decorations are filled with different stories of, you know, the mythologies and the traditions that come with this piece and that piece. Is quite remarkable. Anyway, but anything we can do to nurture and rebuild the divine and cleanse out the demonic, to me, is essential in as we organize with other people to take action. John Rappaport, one of my favorite quotes from John Rappaport, I'm sure you've heard it before, is hopelessness is an op and it's planet-wide. And the greatest tool of the people who are trying to defeat us in World War III and end human liberty on this planet, two of their greatest methodologies is hopelessness and exhaustion. It's hopeless. Just give up and obey. One of my favorite scriptures is, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I. And I believe it's the divine energy that can come through a group of people that produces the kind of miracles that we need. And so I think a Solaris Circle, whatever it does, has to energize your faith walk. And it can do so with practical intelligence and action, because to have endurance, we have to take action. It has to be practical. It has to get results. And again, it has to have individual and mutual benefit. So there it is, a Solaris Circle. Think about whether or not you want to do one. If you do, I hope that our offerings in May with the replacement for subscriber input and then connect.solari.com can help. But make sure before you do so that you read the three pieces at takeaction2021.solari.com. Listen to this and really dream a little bit about what the purpose should be, because if you do this and you do it right, it can make an enormous difference. If you do it wrong, it's a complete waste of your time, and that's the last thing any of us can afford now if we're going to help you live a free and inspired life. As I said, your time is your most important asset. It's imperative that you don't waste it. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, as I always close, don't ask if there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, now would be a good time to start one. Good night and good luck.